God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We come to you this morning with expectant hearts, with hearts that are ready to receive whatever it is that you have for us. I thank you this morning for protecting our families and our friends, our loved ones, and even our enemies. I thank you for every job that we have. I thank you for providing for us, for never letting us down. God, I know sometimes we get discouraged or we get dismayed, but you're always there to help us, to pick us right back up. So this morning, we yield to your Spirit. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we pray that you will touch us and change us forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a couple different scriptures this morning. The first one I really want to focus on is Acts chapter 25, verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 25, verses 10 and 11. And before I read that, what I've really been thinking about, kind of focusing on the past couple days, is God's will for our lives. I know that God can do whatever God wants to do. I mean, he's supreme. If God wants us to have a brown dog with blue eyes, that can happen. If God wants us to drive this or live here or have this, whatever it may be, God can do it. God's will is supreme. But I believe God is waiting on us in a couple situations that maybe some of us are frustrated in. God's waiting on us in some situations that we're maybe calling out to God, like, God, where are you? God, I've prayed, I've fasted, I believe, but this hasn't happened. God, I'm frustrated because this person seems to have it going on and they're not living for you, God. And these are the prayers that we pray to God. And I think we should. I think we should always be 100% honest with God, because it doesn't really matter what our mouth says, because God knows our hearts. And it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to have these feelings. But I want all of us to be encouraged this morning to know that just because there's a delay on the promise from God, that doesn't mean the promise isn't going to happen. Just because it might not be the right season or whatever it is has not come into fruition yet, doesn't mean that God can't make it happen. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us and want great plans for us and want things to help us, want people and things to help us. So the scripture this morning is Acts chapter 25. I'm going to read verses 10 through 11. We have Paul. Paul has testified of the goodness of God. He's testified about Jesus. We know that Paul used to be called Saul and he used to persecute the church. No doubt guilty for the murder of many, many people, even more people he had put in prison. Paul was, he was tore up. But God, in one moment, in one interaction, in one proximity, when Paul was close enough to God, it changed his heart and it forever changed the course of history. So Paul here in Acts chapter 25, he's defending himself, and they're trying to, it's an unfair fight, and Paul is, they're wanting to take him to Jerusalem to kill him. But right here in Acts chapter 25, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, "So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, or if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying." Understand that this morning. He's saying, listen, if I've done anything wrong to the Jews or to their customs, or he said, I'm not opposed to dying. He says, as you very well know, verse 11, or yeah, I'm going to start back at verse 11. "For if I'm an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Paul said, "I appeal to Caesar." In Acts chapter 23, right here in verse 11, the Bible says, "But the following night, the Lord stood by him," that being Paul, "and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness of me in Rome. So you have Paul that's been accused of these wrongdoings, and all Paul's doing is saying, listen, this Jesus whom was crucified is the Son of God. He's the one that died for our sins. He is given his testimony in these different court systems, and they keep wanting to kill him. They keep wanting to condemn him, not because that he's necessarily wrong, but because that he's going against their traditions. He would cause some of the people to lose power. He would cause some of the people to lose influence because they were more worried about the traditions and how they looked on the outside than they were on how they looked on the inside. So then we're going to jump over here to Acts chapter 26, verse 32. And this is another situation, and this is where I'm going to hang my hat today. But this is another situation that Paul has been brought before King Agrippa. King Agrippa was the king in Jerusalem, and he has Festus next to him, and Paul has made an appeal to go before Caesar. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. Y'all can't treat me this way. I have the right to go to Caesar. I have the right to go to Rome. And that's what I want to do. I want to appeal to go to Rome. In other words, I want to appeal to the higher court. And I want to be taken there. But Festus had a problem. Festus was telling King Agrippa, listen, I can't send this man without something written talking about, you know, what's going on with his case, the accusations against him. So the Bible says that King Agrippa and his wife and Festus and several other people come before, and Paul gets to explain himself to King Agrippa. Okay, so what I want you to think about this morning is the opportunity that was presented to Paul. Paul had an opportunity to stand before this king, to stand before this Roman officer that had the authority and the power to release him. With one word, they could have released Paul. With one command, they could have changed Paul's life forever. They could have just said, listen, let him go. They didn't have to give a reason. They didn't have to explain themselves. They were the ones in authority. But Paul, when he is presented with this opportunity, does not talk about King Agrippa, please let me out of here. He doesn't say, Festus, I need to get out so I can go see my cousins or my kids or my wife. You know, he doesn't give these reasons talking about his own innocence. The very thing that Paul does is Paul begins to try to give them and to explain to them of the hope that he has in Jesus Christ. Paul is presented an opportunity to be free, but Paul chooses to explain and to give his testimony to try to convince these people to believe like he believes. Let that sink in for a moment, because I think if I was presented with that opportunity, then I probably would have tried to convince them that I'm innocent. Because in my mind, I would think, oh, listen, if I'm on the outside, if I'm not in jail or if I'm not in prison, I can make more of a difference. Brothers and sisters, this morning, how many of us are thinking, God, if you would just give me this house, God, if you would just give me this car, if you would just give me this husband or this wife, or if you would just give me this baby, if you would just do this to my kid, if you would make my daughter behave, whatever it may be, we're sitting here trying to negotiate with God. But I promise you this morning, you can hold influence right where you're at. You can change people's eternity right where you're at. You don't have to wait on mama and them. You don't have to wait on your apostle or your preacher or the prophet. You have the power to change someone's life forever. Brother Allen, you may say, listen, but I can have more influence if I had this or had more money or I had this position. But I want to encourage you this morning to know that this man that had the opportunity to try to get free took the high road. And what is the high road? What did Paul do? Paul tried to worry about the souls that were around him. He said, King Agrippa, and I have to paraphrase for time. He said, listen, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe what is written? I know that you believe, King Agrippa. He was pleading for the soul of the man that had the authority to release him. But Paul was more worried about eternity than he was about the next 30 years of his life. How many of us could learn a lesson this morning that if we could be more concerned with the kingdom of God, more concerned about where our souls are going to spend eternity, where our family's souls are going to spend eternity, how would that change our attitude? Then us not getting that car yet wouldn't be that big a deal. Then us not making X amount of dollars this year not be that big a deal. And I'm not trying to tell you to don't aspire or be inspired to do great things. But I am telling you that if God is for you, then he is more than the whole world against you. The Bible says that Paul gives his testimony, in other words, to King Agrippa and to Festus. And King Agrippa says, listen, Paul, are you trying to convince me to be a Christian? What a question. He says, listen, are you trying to get me to believe what you believe in such a short period of time? King Agrippa was more worried about the process than he was the promise. King Agrippa thought to believe something that you had to take years to study and years to believe. But how many of us know during this season, I believe God is going to elevate us. God is going to take us to higher heights and deeper depths in him. God is going to elevate us in positions in the world, in the economy, I believe, so that we can have greater influence. But don't let your lack of faith, don't let your way of thinking it has to go in a certain order or it has to happen like 1, 2, and 3. Don't let that be what's holding you up. It doesn't matter to me if you believed 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, or 6 minutes ago. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. And God doesn't need somebody that stayed in the Word for the past 20 years to take them into a position that they can help save people's souls. Brothers and sisters, you and I, our greatest days are ahead of us. And the only way I can say that is because I know that our relationship with God is what's most important. It doesn't matter to me that if you're 70, 80, 90 years old, I can still tell you that your greatest days are ahead of you. Why? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything we can ask or think or imagine. Our God is big. He's awesome and he's strong. And we are the only ones that limit him. The Bible says that after all this happened and Paul talks to King Agrippa and he gives his testimony and he tells him all the good things about God and that Jesus is who Jesus says he was. Right here in verse 32, then Agrippa said to Festus, this is Acts chapter 26, verse 32. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. If I would have heard that and I was Paul, I'd have been like, shoot, man, I should have kept my mouth shut. How many of us know that sometimes keeping our mouth shut is the best thing for us? For me, I can definitely testify to that. Sometimes I let my mouth get the best of me. How many of us know that sometimes if we'll be quiet and try to hear the voice of the Lord, or if we'll just be slow to speak and quick to listen, like the scripture says, that's what someone needs. When someone comes to talk to us and to share their heart with us, they don't need us preaching at them until we listen. How about us listening is what changes their lives? My wife is the absolute best listener I've ever in my life seen. To the point that it encourages me when I preach messages to her, or I talk to her about a revelation that God's given me, or I share something personal with her. Not one time does she interrupt me. She sits there and listens, sometimes to the point that I'll be like, listen, are you not going to respond? But she's so focused on listening that it inspires me to be a better listener. That it encourages me to be a better listener. But King Agrippa says, listen, if Paul would not have appealed to Caesar, then we would have let him go. We would have let him walk free today. And that scripture has bothered me for years. And I'm like, Lord, all Paul had to do was be quiet. All Paul had to do was trust this governmental process, was trust this court process, trust the fact that he could persuade. Paul was a good persuader. And I know a lot of us, sometimes we want to trust in our ability to manipulate. Sometimes some of us want to trust in our ability to make money instead of saying, God, you promise that if I'll pay my tithes and offerings to bless me. Some of us think that we can control a situation better than God. But Paul had appealed to Caesar because of his birthright. Paul said, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. Paul understood the relationship that he had to Rome. He understood that he was born a free Roman citizen. He didn't have to pay for it. He didn't have to earn it. It was because of who his mom and daddy was. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. The reason that I believe Paul appeared to Caesar is the second scripture that I read this morning. It's because when the Lord stood next to Paul while he was in that prison and said, listen, you've testified good of me in Jerusalem and you got to keep doing it, but you got to go to Rome and tell them about me too. You see, Paul held on to the word from the Lord more than anything else. The Lord had told Paul, listen, you got to go to Rome. And Paul knew the best way for him to get to Rome was through his citizenship, was through his birthright. Brothers and sisters, how many of us this morning need to know that our way to freedom is through our birthright? How many of us this morning need to know that our way to victory or our way to forgiveness or our way to mercy or love is through our birthright? Because the Bible says that when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, we are a new creation. We then take on the promises of the sons and daughters of God. Paul held on to a word from the Lord so much that he knew that if God told him he got to go to Rome, that I might as well get there as fast as I can. Paul wasn't worried about the delay. Paul wasn't worried about what might happen. He knew that if God told him, you got to go to Rome, the inside of that word from God was his protection. It was his provision. Brothers and sisters, God has given us a word, and that word is Jesus. He's told us that he loves us. He's told us that he forgives us. He told us that he's a God of mercy and grace and truth, and he's waiting for us to hold on to that word. He's waiting for us to appeal to him. He's waiting for us to trust in our birthright. I was talking to Alex this morning, and when Isabel goes into Walmart or Isabel or Joshua goes into these other stores that we go into, they don't grab something off the shelf and put it in their pocket. They'll grab something off the shelf for sure and come ask Alex or me, most of the time me because I'm the sucker, Daddy, can I have this? Isabel will look at me with those big brown eyes and do this little voice and this little look. And man, I'm a sucker for it. And she's got it figured out. She knows how to pull on my heart. She knows that there's an appropriate order to get what she wants. But when she goes into the pharmacy, there's nowhere that she won't go. There's nothing within reason that she won't put in her pocket because she understands her relationship with the owner. She understands the owner is her dad. She understands that Papa will take care of it. She understands that I love her so much and I try to help her and take care of her. She understands that so much that she's not scared to walk wherever she wants by herself. She's not scared to talk to people because she understands her relationship that she has with the Father makes people treat her a certain kind of way. It makes people be nice to her. It makes people help her. It makes people do certain things. And brothers and sisters, this morning, your relationship that you have with Yahweh, with God himself, will cause people to bless you. It will cause people to provide for you. It will cause people to help you on your path, but you have to trust in the word. We're either going to trust in the process, the political process, the governmental process, the work 40 hours and get a check process, or we can trust in God. And I promise you that if we will trust in God like Paul trusted in the Lord to get him to Rome, to lean on his birthright, then I promise you victory is on the other side of that decision. Your deliverance is on the other side of you trusting in the Lord. In closing this morning, there's so many examples in Scripture that when people trusted in the Lord, that God brought them deliverance. God brought them freedom, but it has to always take me back to King David. the only man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. He was short in stature. The world was stacked against him. Everybody thought he would fail when he went against Goliath. Saul thought that this young Rudy boy, this young man, there's no way he can get victory against this great giant, against this great obstacle in his life. But what I love, what King David told Saul to comfort him. He said, listen, when I was out there in the wilderness, when I was out there with the sheep protecting them and a lion or a bear would come up against them, I would grab that lion by the beard and I would strike it down. I would take that bear and I would kill it. I would do these things under the power of God, and this Philistine will be no different. Brothers and sisters, that addiction in your life will be no different. That unforgiveness in your life will be no different. That family member that's not come home yet will be no different if you will make the choice to trust in your birthright, to trust in your experience. Because I have a question this morning. When's the last time God let you down? When's the last time God disappointed you? When's the last time God was slack concerning his promises? When's the last time God didn't perform exactly what God told me he would do? When's the last time I can say somebody in my life has not disappointed me? Brothers and sisters, David depended upon his experience with God. Paul depended upon his experience with God. And if you don't have an experience with God this morning, that's okay, because God's inviting you now to have an experience. He sent me today to encourage you and to tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He sent me here today to encourage you and let you know that the sin that you're committing is not greater than his love. The sin that you think's holding you back from God, God is still welcoming you with open arms, and he's wanting me to encourage you this morning and to let you know, whether you hear this message right now or in 6 weeks from now, he's wanting you to know that he loves you, that you are a citizen of heaven, that he's redeemed you, you're his child, and these promises are for you and for your children's children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's good news this morning. I'm encouraged knowing that God is for me. I'm encouraged this morning to know that if I can't be set free by people, that God is the only one that can let me go free. And if I'm free in God, then I am free indeed. If I'm forgiven by God, then I don't have to be forgiven by everybody else. If I'm loved by God, then that's good enough for me this morning. I'd rather be in jail with God than in the world without God. Because God can give you a peace, brothers and sisters. So many of us need that kind of peace that we lay down at night and our minds wandering and racing 1,000 miles an hour, but we can't get peace. Well, God is saying this morning, I've got it and I want to give it to you. God's not a God. Don't let anybody paint a portrait to you or picture to you that God is a God that holds these things and he runs around, you know, playing hide and go seek. God wants us to seek him, yes, but God is there willing to open his hands to each one of us and to provide these things this morning. When Paul stood before Festus and King Agrippa, he was an innocent man, but he made his appeal because he knew he had to fulfill the will of the Lord. There was another man that was innocent, and his name was Jesus. Pilate said that Jesus was innocent, but never let him go. King Agrippa, Festus said that Paul was innocent, but he was never released. But both of them changed the course of history forever. Don't let your and my situation get in the way of us fulfilling the promises of God. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you that you're not a God that you can lie. Thank you that there's no shadow of turning in you, meaning that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you love us and you bless us, God, and I thank you that you've never given up on us. So this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this call and that will hear this message. I pray that you will encourage them and let them know that the delay is not a denial. Let them know that just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. God, I feel that there's some people that need to be encouraged this morning. So I pray that your spirit will go to them individually and strengthen them and encourage them and love on them, Lord. Because in your presence is the fullness of everything that we stand in need of. God, we yield to you this morning and we love you and we thank you for being our Savior. We pray these things by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.